words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. Thank you for doing that little experiment with me during the reading of the Gospel to put your bulletins down. That is, the opening of the Gospel of John was an ancient hymn or ode. And you know, when you're in school, it's a whole different thing hearing someone speak Shakespeare or seeing it acted out, right, than reading it. Or, you know, you ever been to a poetry slam? Okay, probably most people haven't, but you know, there's a difference in hearing poetry. This is poetry. That entire opening section of this gospel, the authors took what was probably a hymn that was being sung, and that's what we heard today. Now, I know it's New Year's Eve. Y'all got all your resolutions. You got it all together for 2018 already, right? Right? You got your resolutions down, and you're going to keep to them, right? Of course you are. So am I. We love to do this at this time of year because it's a new year and we want a fresh, clean slate, right? Well, you know, it's not really the new year of the church. When's New Year's Day in the church? Advent 1. Yeah, we got some ringers back here. Advent 1. And because we now celebrate here at Christ Church the seven-week Advent, the original seven-week Advent, we didn't feel kind of ripped off, you know? Like, some churches kind of felt a little ripped off with Advent because the Advent four services falling on Christmas Eve, a lot of folks like us canceled the morning. They only got 3 Sundays of Advent. Priests like me who like to wear blue didn't get to wear it that often. But not us. We started Advent on November 12th. So we got plenty of it, plenty of the ability to kind of settle into this awaiting presence with us. And it's important to think about that because Advent 1 is the beginning of when we're anticipating the return of Christ or the incarnation of Christ. And if you think about it, this was God's resolution. God's New Year's resolution. Now, anybody notice anything funny about the very first words of that prologue in John? You don't have to look at it. I'll give it to you. What was the very start of it? In the beginning. Now, where else did we hear that? Genesis, right? Right. This is a back and forth here today. Just I see you should have had your coffee. You should have had that extra dose because I'm going to be asking you stuff, and you're going to have to like actually pretend to be listening to me, and you know. So God, back in the Genesis time, when we were talking about that, when we listened to that, that was a time when God was establishing relationship with us. And some people call that the fall, you know, where Adam and Eve got kicked out. But a lot of rabbis will tell you that wasn't really a fall at all. And I don't believe it was either. It was a changing of the nature of our relationship with God. We grew up. Maybe sooner than God would have hoped. But those of you who are parents, right, who have had children in your life, you may, and by the way, I love the sound of children in church. So it's great to hear the children that are here today. If you've had children, as much as you love them, well, especially once they are sleeping through the night, as much as you love them when they're in that cute baby toddler phase, I don't think you'd want them to stay that way their entire life. Don't get me wrong, they're adorable. And there's a part of you that probably does just want to hold on to them, that innocence and that sweetness. But I think you also love them enough to want them to grow, to be all the things that they can be. And that's essentially what was happening with Adam and Eve. And sometimes when we grow up and we become adults, I don't know about you, but everything just doesn't go smoothly, does it? No. No, of course not. And that's a little bit of what God was warning them. That was then. Now we're talking about John. God really wanted to change the relationship again. God had this sense that we didn't know just how loved we were. Things had gotten rather dark. Now, if you were here on Christmas Day, you might have heard this analogy. You know, I have a dog and two cats. You know the dog's favorite thing is coffee hour here, right? I love animals. And the thing about a dog is you can wrap your arms around the dog. Cat, maybe not so much. But a dog, you can wrap your hands around them and say, you know, I just love you. You can do that with children, right? Fish. How many of you have hugged a fish? I'm just saying, it's really slippery, okay? If you try to hug a fish, it's going to be like a little funky, really, really hard to do. Now, if you're in a fish tank, you're in this fish bowl with other fish, and you're hanging out, and, like, you know there's something probably more than your little fishy world. You're swimming around, right? And you're looking at all your buds, and you know food happens, and water, and you've got this great environment. But if you own a fish, it's really hard to let the fish know you love them. Think of that like God with us. God was always there, always present, knocking on the fish tank, saying, hey, I love you guys. I love you. And we were like, you know, I feel like there's something going on here, but I can't quite get it. So God became a fish. God became one of us. Now, what happens when you become a fish? Eventually, you're going to end up in the toilet. Right? I hate to say it, but once you become a fish, you're not going to live all the time, right? Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that in front of the kids. They actually don't go end up in the toilet, just so you know. They end up in a farm in upstate New York. That's really where fish go after they can't be in the tank anymore. Let's just be clear. So God decides to become this fish, decides to become one of us. Eventually, he's going to have to go live in a farm in upstate New York. All right? God's going to have to take on human form. And taking on human form means taking on the love, but also the pains and the hurts and the finiteness of our existence. But God didn't care. God cared enough about us to do that. To take on our vulnerability, to come as a vulnerable child, to grow up, to have pains and hurts, just so God can say, I love you. You are valued unconditionally, no matter what. There is nothing you can do that will ever change that. And I love you enough to do this so you'll get that. Right? Now, I remember somebody, and I've told you this story before, but I think it's important when we're talking about this. Because one of those things is that unconditional love. And God was saying, you know, no matter what you can do, right? And there was a woman at our Theology on Tap who, when we were talking about the divine feminine, and I call God mother, not because I think God's a girl, anyone that think God's a boy, but to balance out all the father and he and stuff that you all are doing. So I balance it out. So it's clear to everyone. As Nadine back there once asked me, how come God is not a girl? To which I said, who says she isn't, right? So I do that, and she was saying to me, I was talking about God's unconditional love, that no matter what we do, God will always love us. And she goes, oh my gosh, I get it now. She said, you know, I could never get that until you started calling God mother. And I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, I am a mother. And I don't care if my kids murdered somebody. I could never, ever stop loving them. I won't like what they do. I may not even like them at times. But I will always love them. Now I get that kind of unconditional love. Now I get that. So God made a New Year's resolution and came to us in Jesus just to let us know that. And here's the thing. We make resolutions for a reason, right? I don't know about you, but I make it so that someday, I think this year's going to be the year I'm going to go to the gym. This is going to be the year. Mark my words. God help me. I'm going to pray more and I'm going to work out. All right? Why do we make these resolutions? Because we're trying to better ourselves, right? Usually. Or do something that we think will make us a little bit better, right? Maybe we're going to read more. Maybe we're going to drink less. Or we're going to take better care of our bodies, whatever that is. Somewhere around February, maybe it's March for the diehards there, some of those resolutions kind of start fading away, right? And the sad thing about that is we don't know just how darn good it is to have those resolutions and keep them. Take it like this. Going to the gym. Now, we all know when we go to the gym, it will feel better about it, right? I mean, when I actually get my behind there, I'm always like, I feel so good. I'm so proud of me. I went. I worked out. That's me, right? I feel that way. I'm sure other people do. Plus, I'm thanking God for the miracle, okay? I heard once that the way to get to the gym when you're feeling a little like, is you say to yourself, because, you know, it's the morning and you're all snuggled underneath the comforter and you're like, I don't want to go to the gym. You hit the snooze button, it doesn't happen. They said, say to yourself, okay, you don't have to go to the gym. Just get up and get dressed. And then once you're dressed, say, you know, you don't really have to go inside. Just go to the parking lot. And then once you're in the parking lot, you just sort of say to yourself, well, you don't have to work out the full 30 minutes or an hour. Just go in for 10 minutes. And of course, once you're there working out for 10 minutes, you stay. And afterwards, you're like, yes, I did that. Here's the thing. In the past year, churches, including our own, have been down in attendance. Not because, I mean, I know at least 12 new members that have come in just this past year. We've been growing each year for the last 4 years now, heading into 5. We've had new pledges come in. We know that this has happened. We've had now 19 baptisms, something like that. So we know it isn't that we're not growing. But our average Sunday attendance, which is how churches are measured, and it's not just us, and I'm sure it's other denominations, but let's just stick with the Episcopal Diocese in Newark, attendance has been down. In fact, our attendance will probably come in not at last year's mark, but lower than last year's mark. And I think what's happening is there's been a real darkness over the world in the past year. It's a real sadness. There's anger. There's bitterness. There's compassion fatigue. Some of it stems from what's going on in our political environment. Some of it stems from what we see in the nightly news, the hate and the bigotry and the violence that's out there. Some of it is from personal tragedy. We've had 12 funerals in this church in this past year. Some of them have hit people here deeply and personally. But generally, across the land, there's been a sense of a deep depression. No matter what side of the political divide you are on, you can feel the tension and the anger that is all across this country. And a lot of that stuff that we hear on the nightly news, that comes out of people's vulnerability, out of people's feeling wounded, spiritually weak, emotionally weak, sometimes physically challenged. So the darkness can seem like it's going to overtake us. The same kind of darkness we heard about in John. And so you'd think that what we would do is get up and go to the gym, right? See, the church is the spiritual gym. This is where you come, and when you come here, I hope, when you come here, you feel good. I hope you feel good. I hope you feel connected to something. I hope you're reminded of the love that God has for you. I hope you're reminded of the work we need to do in the name of Christ to reach out to the poor and to the oppressed. I hope that's how you feel. But like the physical gym, I think what happens is sometimes we just want to go to the church of the Holy Comforter. We take the comforter, we pull it over our heads. That's church, right? And it feels good for the moment. Believe me, I live an hour away, and sometimes on a cold morning like this, it's a little tempting. I understand it. But what ends up happening is over time, we start to get weak in the very same way that we do if we don't go to the gym. And that's a shame. We're in Christmas. We're still in Christmas, by the way. Hope you have your trees up. We're still in Christmas, and we will be until the Feast of the Epiphany. And this is a time when we remember the resolution Christ, God made to us in the form of Christ, to show us just how much we're loved, how deeply, deeply we're loved. And it's here, here, in our spiritual gym, where we come and we get that nourishment. In the body and blood of Christ, yes. For each other, yes. But then we take that nourishment out into the world because we are the body of Christ. And we go out into the world because there's a whole bunch of people out there, people who have been marginalized, people who have been oppressed, people who are lonely, from LGBT people who are pushed aside, to women who are battered, to people of color who feel fearful, to people who are poor. And we can be that light to them. But we can't do it if we're out of shape ourselves. So in this season of making resolutions, I'm going to give one for you. Make a resolution to come here and make a resolution to bring someone in who you think might just be a little spiritually tired and in needing of nourishment. Bring them in so that they can be comforted. Bring them in so they can feel God's love. Because if we don't do that, then the incarnation starts to fade from our hearts. The most miraculous love story ever told. The gift that keeps on giving. And I know it's cold, and it's so good to see so many of you here today in sub-zero temperatures. But there are people outside these doors who threw the comforter over their head because they're just too weak to get up. I don't believe in my heart of hearts it's because they don't feel anything. I don't believe in my heart of hearts any of that. I think people are just plumb worn out. I know I can be plumb worn out too. But when you suffer from that, this is where you will get nourished. This is the place for you to come. There is a darkness out in the world. There's always been. And the light of God is begging to be shining in your hearts. The light of God and the child of Christ has come into our world. Let us take that light into our hearts and outward. Let us make that our New Year's resolution and live into that in 2018 and beyond. Because if we can do that, this incarnation will mean something. If we can do that, we can change the world. Amen.